fraudsterdam.
The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Hey, chokers and chokettes, welcome. It is Wednesday, March 6, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it breaks my heart to tell you that this is our first show without Steve Vedran, who passed away last night with his family at his bedside, succumbing in his fight against cancer. And so today's show is dedicated to Steve Vedran, and in the Radical Rant today, I'll be reading to you his own words from our cancer forum. We'll tell you the story of Steve Vedran and his fight to educate people on the use of cannabis for people suffering from cancer. Also on today's show, Attorney General Holder was grilled in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee today, and he is still dodging the question of legal marijuana in this country and what the federal government is going to do about that. We'll tell you about that in our headline segment coming up in 420 Radio News. Also in Behind the Headlines, there was a raid in Washington State, in Longview, Washington. We're going to take a look at that raid, how ridiculous a waste it was, and why the Longview Police Department has far better things to do. Also on today's show, it's Irie Wednesday, so we're going to get Irie with Brian the Red, and he's going to be bringing us a tune from the Red Eyes Reggae Flashback from last week. Get you prepared for tonight's Red Eyes Reggae Flashback, so stick around for that. Also on the show at half past the hour, it's the return of new normal board member Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be here in our Cannabis Q&A segment, taking your calls, questions, and chat questions on cannabis science, history, culture, and health. Then we'll take things into hour two, Toker Talk Radio, where you can be the voice of the marijuana nation at 971-533-7111. Among the topics we'll be discussing are the new arrest figures out from the city of Oakland. And, well, while the arrests have gone down, the nature of those arrests is still quite familiar to anyone who studied the racial disparities in the drug war. All that coming up on the Russ Belville Show today. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Radical Russ. You can follow me on Facebook at Radical Russ. And now I have a Pinterest account. I don't even know what the hell Pinterest was until today, but now I have a Pinterest account. You can get all my latest graphs, charts, maps, and data tables as I make them right there on Pinterest. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have our 420 Radio News. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, this is Steve Vedran from Chula Vista, California, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Time for the 420 Radio News for Wednesday, March 6, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. I'd like to begin with a quick editorial note. Attorney General Holder still needs more time on marijuana legalization. Testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee today, Attorney General Eric Holder said the Obama administration is, quote, still considering, end quote, its reaction to marijuana legalization in Colorado and Washington state. After all, it was only 4 months ago. No need to rush. So marijuana growers in Washington and Colorado who will need to get seeds in the ground soon to cultivate plants for the retail market, set to open later this year, have no idea whether the feds will go after state-licensed shops and growers. Citizens in Colorado will have no idea whether feds will bust people growing their own personal gardens. It's not as if these marijuana legalization campaigns ran for months before the election with majority support in the polls. If they did, why, then the Justice Department could have been spending some of the time it wasn't prosecuting too big to jail bankers who laundered billions in drug cartel money. They could have put them on the case. Or maybe they could have dedicated a few of their attorneys who weren't crafting legal justifications for using drones to assassinate U.S. citizens on American soil, on the president's signature alone. Maybe they could have taken some time to prepare for what to do if legalization was to pass in Washington and Colorado. Senator Patrick Leahy says the sequester should halt federal marijuana raids. This from the Washington Times. The Obama Justice Department is still trying to figure out how to handle the legalization of marijuana possession in Colorado and Washington state. But one senator on Wednesday said that in an era of stretched budgets, the feds should back off. Senator Patrick J. Leahy, the Judiciary Committee chairman, told Attorney General Eric Holder that, quote, I would suggest there are more serious things than minor possession of marijuana, end quote. Minutes earlier, Mr. Holder had warned that the budget sequesters are forcing him to cut more than $1 billion from his department's operations and said that could hurt national security. Mr. Leahy, a Vermont Democrat, said that's all the more reason to not continue targeting marijuana users. Advocates announced new coalitions as Hawaii marijuana decriminalization bill passes a Senate floor vote. This from HawaiiReporter.com. As SB 472, a bill to decriminalize marijuana, was unanimously approved by the Hawaii Senate, and two bills to improve Hawaii's medical marijuana program are poised for passage in the House, Hawaii advocates have announced the launch of two statewide coalitions to reform local marijuana laws. Fresh Approach Hawaii is a group of local organizations, businesses, and individuals active on all aspects of local marijuana law reform. You can find them at freshapproachhawaii.org. The Medical Cannabis Coalition of Hawaii works confidentially with patients, caregivers, and doctors to safely access Hawaii's 13-year-old medical marijuana program. They can be found at mcchi.org. The Michigan House bill would allow medical marijuana dispensaries from the pressandguide.com. The Michigan House of Representatives is considering a bill that would allow the establishment of medical marijuana dispensaries. The Medical Marijuana Provisioning Center Regulation Act comes on the heels of a Michigan Supreme Court decision that ruled that the transfer of medical marijuana between patients that takes place in dispensaries is not included in the original Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. Medical marijuana gets okay from an Illinois House committee. An Illinois House committee has approved a measure that would allow for the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. The House Human Services Committee voted 11-4 Wednesday to move the proposal to the full House for consideration. The measure would allow patients over the age of 18 who've been diagnosed with specific terminal illnesses or debilitating medical conditions to obtain marijuana. Legislation takes on medical marijuana labeling and cultivation in Arizona from Cronkite News Online.
Senator Kimberly Yee, a Republican of Phoenix, is worried that some edible medical marijuana products are too easy to mistake for candy and should be labeled clearly by law. Along with a group of rural lawmakers, Yee also says counties need more leeway under state law to regulate where medical marijuana may be cultivated. Those are among several bills in the legislative session addressing how the medical marijuana system that Arizona voters approved in 2010 should work. Senator Yee authored four of the measures. And that's your 420 Radio News for today, Wednesday, March 6, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at a raid of a medical marijuana dispensary in Washington State that will leave you questioning why we are prioritizing those kind of police resources on marijuana. This is 420radio.org. We'll be right back. .org is listener-supported cannabis community radio, and while we value every $4.20 donation that comes in monthly from our members, we take this moment to offer an extra special thanks to our most generous donors, who have provided over $1,000 worth of support to 420radio.org. For their privacy's sake, we'll identify these knights and dames of the smoky table as Sir Randy of the Lakes, Dame Kathleen the Beneficent, Dame Kaylee the Wise, Sir Travis of Stumptown, Sir Rolla J of Cush, and others who wish to remain anonymous. Thank you, lords and ladies, for your most generous patronage.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind.
Time for us to go behind the headlines, and I got this headline in our local newspapers. Longview, Washington's not very far from here, and it's a story of the Longview police raiding a collective or a dispensary or MWIO, whatever you want to call it, in Longview, or actually Kelso, which is kind of near Longview, and it was called Grassroots. Some people were running a dispensary out of their home, and they were selling and delivering marijuana to customers. Then the cops brought in some snitches, or as they call them, confidential informants, and coerced them to buy some of Grassroots' weed. That, of course, gave them the search warrant they needed to execute their raid last week. Well, here's the idiocy of it all. You remember that Washington State legalized marijuana, right? And that they've had medical marijuana for 15 years, right? Okay. Well, in the raid, Longview police found 25 plants growing out back in a barn. They arrested four adults. Now, in Washington State, up to 10 patients can collectively grow up to 45 plants. But somehow, 25 marijuana plants are dangerous if you're not sick. The police also seized a pound of marijuana. If just one of those four adults is a medical marijuana patient, he or she can legally be holding a pound and a half. If it's a collective garden, they can hold up to 4.5 pounds. But somehow, a pound of marijuana is dangerous if you're not sick. Ah, but they were selling and delivering marijuana. It's not even legal under I-502. The cops also seized a whopping $4,366 in cash from these alleged marijuana kingpins. Wow. Come this time next year, Washington State will have implemented the will of their voters, you know, that said by a majority that the production, buying, and selling of marijuana should be a legal operation. And right now, even, collective gardens are allowed to recoup their costs from their members, including monetary donations for expenses. But this selling of marijuana by adults to other adults who wish to willingly purchase it, that's a crime? That's a crime we got to stop at all costs in a state that just passed landmark marijuana legalization, that has working groups right now discussing the rules and regulations of how we're going to buy and sell marijuana? In a state where collective gardens can have 45 plants and can have 4.5 pounds of marijuana, we're really going to put a lot of time and energy into this, huh? Well, apparently we are. If you can see behind me, this is a picture from the raid, and I looked in that picture, and I could count 3 cops, at least, that were involved in the raid. This is from the Grassroots Facebook page, by the way. I've got all the links up at my blog at RadicalRust.com if you'd like to follow up on this yourself. I counted at least 3 cops, but there's probably more. And you figure, you know, the time that they've got to set up the CIs, you know, the snitches, the time they got to, you know, process and all the information, the time they got to set up, they got to get the warrants, they got to arrest these people, book them, fingerprint them, take their mugshots, put the mugshots up on the internet forever, right? That's got to take some time and some cop energy, I imagine. Well, I looked up the Longview Police Department because, you know, that's what I do. I look stuff up. And the salary for a starting rookie police officer at the Longview Police Department is $22.30 an hour. A 5-year veteran officer makes $25.23 an hour. And a sergeant starts at $29.26 an hour. So that $4,366 in cash they seized is a little less than the salary of 5 rookie cops on a 40-hour work week. You want to bet they put more than 40 hours of cop time into this? And don't forget, a lot of those are base starting salaries. They get all sorts of, like, you know, $1,500 annual bonus if they do this thing, and $1,200 annual bonus if they have this amount of time and if they've done this thing and so forth. Again, I got the links at my blog at RadicalRust.com if you want to see what you can make as a Longview Police Department officer. So to summarize, let's wrap it all up in a bow here. The Longview Police Department spent an unknown amount of man hours investigating and setting up people who had well below the legal plant limit for a collective, well below the marijuana limit for a collective, because they were selling marijuana, an activity that will be legal next year, and is somewhat legal now for medical users, and selling to people who would smoke and possess it, which is legal right now. Now, in case you're wondering, Longview, Washington, compared to similar Washington cities, has more homicides, more forcible rapes, more aggravated assaults, more burglaries, more larcenies, more car thefts, and more arsons than the average of similar Washington cities. But they are below average on robberies. Got to give them that. So if this is a problem for you, and it's certainly a problem for me, I would urge you to visit my blog at RadicalRust.com. I've got that link to the Longview Police Department. And just ask their public information officer why we're spending all this time. I've got a Freedom of Information request in right now to find out exactly how much officer time they did spend on this particular raid with Grassroots, which, judging by the fact that they've got these people, you know, and the number of the people, and if they've got medical recommendations, and if it's a collective, a prosecution that could likely go nowhere, how much time and money did they spend on this? We will keep you updated right here at RadicalRust.com and let you know just as soon as we know. All right, before we take a break, I wanted to quickly remind everybody about our schedule next week. This time next week, we won't have a live show because I'll be flying to Atlanta, Georgia, to take play, take part in the Southern Cannabis Reform Conference. Going to be a good time down there. Sabrina Fendrick from Normal Women's Alliance will be there. Diane Goldstein from LEAP will be there. Chief Greenbud will be performing. It's going to be a lot of fun. The folks from Peachtree Normal will be there. Georgia Moms for Marijuana and so forth. You can find information about that at my Facebook page. Also on my blog at RadicalRust.com. All that information is available. Just check out PeachtreeNormal.org. Also, real quick, well, I guess not real quick, because we got to take a break. Liebermeter's early again. What's up with that, Brian?
I don't know, man. It's a mess. She says it's mandatory.
I guess the kind of day I'm having wouldn't hurt to start early. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Yeah, I watch MTV all the time. They have the Rock Against Drug commercials, that whole campaign. And these guys have, like, you know, slid into fucking school buses and killed 20 children. You know. Rather than face a license, they made a public service announcement. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. I love these guys. That is a, hello. Listen, don't get caught with drugs or you'll have to do a commercial just like this one. I think I found the message. The message is don't get caught. Rock Against Drugs. What a fucking name. Somebody was high when they came up with this title. Yeah. It's like Christians Against Christ. Rock created drugs. What are they talking about? They go together, folks.
It's quite simple. I'm a very nasty drunk. I get mean. I get loud. I'll tell your deepest, darkest secrets to a stranger. And I'll puke on your shoes. So, if that's the kind of behavior that this culture promotes, you know, fuck it.
Your one room schoolhouse of choice. Your one stop freedom shop. It's the Libra Lounge.
Sundays at 3, right here on 420radio.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Well, today is the perfect day for us to get Irie. We definitely need some good vibes, and I know that Brian the Red's got something on tap for us that'll lift us all up. So, Brian, take it away.
Well, last week, you know, I dedicated the last song of the show to Steve Vetran. It was a track called Above the Water, and, you know, sometimes we all just got to keep our head above the water. You know, reggae music is about, you know, in here, you know, just as much as it is, you know, in here, you know, in your heart as much as it is in your head and in your soul, you know. So so much, you know, he's in a better place, but we'll just keep things up. And we got a great show tonight, so tune in tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific for Red Eyes Reggae Flashback, and we're going to go ahead and take this away with Above the Water with Ayashanti.
Lift my head above these waters, answer my cry, Almighty. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, answer my cry. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, answer my cry. To Jah I'm praying, please strengthen up my life. I need a little help now.
Only you can make me survive.
Shine your light on me. If I ever live in prosperity, yeah. Make a way for me. Break down the
a cry. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, answer my cry. I cry to you, Most High, to lift my head above. Show me the way to go by. Although the road is so rocky and so wide, show me the way to go by. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, and some cry. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, and some cry. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, and some cry. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, and some cry. Lift my head above these waters. The dark, yes, it coming from the heart. When I say this to you, my Lord, when the Gideon get after, gonna put my enemy to shame. Giant gonna give us the victory. Happiness is here again. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, and some cry. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, and some cry. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, and some cry. Lift my head above these waters, quench my thirst, and some cry.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org. or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
got to talk about the new Trump. Leadership. To be a leader, a big responsibility. His Majesty knows, yes, it's true. Jaja knows. We were chanting Africa before His Majesty come to Jamaica. Calling Rastafari, calling Rastafari. Sons and daughters of His Majesty, sons and daughters of His Majesty. We are going around and around and around, getting confusing. Action, positive action, no disrespect. Remember our plan, remember our plan. Calling Rastafari, calling Rastafari. Sons and daughters of His Majesty, sons and daughters of His Majesty. Calling Rastafari, calling Rastafari. Sons and daughters of His Majesty, sons and daughters of His Majesty.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Put your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome everybody. Half past the hour, and it's a Wednesday, and that means it's time to speak with newly elected normal board member Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Woohoo! How about that?
That's pretty darn cool.
I'm pretty delighted.
Yeah. So you're part of the, who are the other new board members who were elected along with you?
Well, so we got Diane Fornbacher, who everyone knows and loves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm afraid the other folks are escaping me right now. I'll have to look it up.
Rick Cusick from High Times.
Rick Steves has been, you know, a salient participant already.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the usual suspects. The guy from Weed Maps, whose name is
Justin Hartfield from Weed Maps, and
exactly,
and Rick Cusick
and
from High Times.
Two others I can't think of right now.
Rick Cusick from High Times.
You got it.
There we go. I think that's all judges. Did we get them all? Yes, we did get them all. We're all good. Okay. As always, when we start off these discussions, we let Dr. Mitch Earlywine set the table with the latest in cannabis studies, science, polls, all that kind of stuff. What's new in the news?
New data from the Annals of Epidemiology showing that, what a surprise, medical marijuana states don't have increases in teen use. In fact, in this data set, there was a drop of 0.5%.
Oh.
And also no oddball changes in attitudes about marijuana's perceived harmfulness. So anybody who thinks medical marijuana is a bad idea has less and less data to stand on.
There we go. And speaking of the data, I got a note from Paul Armentano, our friend with Normal, and he sent along new research from Hartman and Huestis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing Marilyn Huestis' name correctly, but Huestis, perhaps.
That's it.
Yeah, there we go. Marilyn Huestis on the detection. She's one of these experts on the whole science of detecting cannabinoids in the blood and whether or not that's going to lead to impairment. And the money quote on this was her saying that there is no direct correlation between driving impairment and THC concentration. I wonder if you got a look at that and if you have any other gems to mine from it.
So I saw an abstract from a poster she did on the same idea and from that same data set. And in fact, you know, what a surprise. People's variation in tolerance is so dramatic that trying to do things in nanograms per milliliter is just a bad idea. I've, you know, jumped up and down before about how roadside sobriety tests are definitely the way to go because they detect, you know, Benadryl or any other kind of impairment, not just cannabinoids. And we definitely all know folks who are regular medical users or just regular daily users who have tolerance that's so high that the any level we would set would be ridiculous given their ability to drive after using. So I really hope that this can help buttress the argument for roadside sobriety tests and not anybody having to give up blood or urine.
Yeah, let's hope for that. And Dr. Mitch, there's another topic out there. I've seen it pop up in the local news around here in Oregon. Apparently some a story of a police being called to find a woman, a naked 19-year-old woman holding an infant in her arms and swinging a hammer with the other hand, all freaked out and hallucinating. And they're attributing it to this herb, this drug called kratom. And I'd never heard of the dang thing, but we talked about it last week, and a couple of our Canadian listeners informed us what it was. I looked it up. Have you heard much of this kratom, and do you have any information for us on it?
So both this one and Damiana were kind of making the rounds for a little while as potential intoxicants or just interesting recreational things. They have a long history, but we just don't have a ton of data on them. Obviously, this woman was in over her head on it, so I'm reluctant to say much from a single case, though, because she may have had a psychotic disorder before. She could have been, you know, in the middle of some kind of manic episode. It's just too soon to say that this is always harmful or always bad, but obviously it was not a good time this time.
Yeah. How much of that is an effect in this reporting? You know, we get these stories a little while back. It was the face-eating zombies, right, on the spice or whatever. We get these stories that are hyped up of people having these huge breaks with reality. It's always attributed to the fact that they're doing some drug. But how much of that is them doing some drug to deal with the fact that they've got such a huge break with reality?
Well, and I do feel like these chicken and egg issues never come up. The fact that some of these folks, when you look deep into their personal histories, had psychotic breaks before or were at least schizotypal, had kind of a schizophrenia-light style of interacting with the earth, is something that we ought to keep in mind anytime we see one of these. And as Bruce Merkin of MPP used to say, if it bleeds, it leads. Mm. We always get the dramatic part. We might not have heard of the hundreds and thousands of people who used it without any negative consequences.
Of course. All right. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine here in our Cannabis Q&A. You can call in live at 971-533-7111 or drop your question into our chat room here on Ustream. Just type /login to create your account. And we've got a question here coming from LCAP in our chat room, wants to know if there is a way to purify cannabis resin into something less harmful.
Not an efficient or simple way. And in fact, I mean, the resin that you're getting, you know, just on the side of your pipe probably doesn't have a lot of psychoactive THC left in it anyway. So, I mean, not something I'd recommend without some pretty serious access to chemical equipment.
Yeah.
So, bad news.
Yeah, we just had another one of these, you know, blowing up hash stories out here in Oregon. Some 22-year-old making butane hash in his house, and of course exploded, and he goes running down the street. I'm burned. So we're hearing more and more of that, and I keep wondering, you know, in a legal scenario, isn't what they do in most pharmaceutical factories basically that, stripping from plants and other substances their essential oils and make them into pills?
Alas, only a small percentage now do that. We've come to the point now where almost at least the top 10 sellers are all pretty much synthetic.
Oh.
So it's just turning one chemical into another chemical. I'm afraid it's nowhere near as natural as it was even 60 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Well, certainly under legalization, we could have some sort of regulated industrial production of these things. It'd be a whole lot safer.
And in fact, I think the idea that we even need to move away from whole plant is certainly worth debating.
Ah, yes. Many rants on that subject. Normal Patriot in our chat room has a question. How hard would it be for us to self-monitor, like with a test strip? And I think saying like, you know, with blood alcohol, there's that little chart they give you as far as, you know, when you're too drunk to drive, or there's all sorts of little, is there anything like that coming on the horizon for us consumers so that we can know if we're above 5 nanograms?
Well, so, I mean, if you want a kind of instantaneous behavioral measure that seems to co-vary with driving impairment, go ahead and stand on one foot, stick the other foot about 18 inches up in the air, hold your arms out, and see if you can hold it like that for about 30 seconds without tipping or swaying too badly, and that would certainly be a good marker as far as, you know, just general motor skills are concerned. But I want to encourage folks to just say, hey, you know, maybe tonight's not the night for me to drive anyway. Why don't I arrange things so that everybody comes to my house, or that I can walk to the place I want to go, or let's do public transit. Or in a lot of towns, you know, a cab might be $4 to $8. I can get an awful lot of places in Portland for $2.50, you know, let's take advantage of that.
You know, that's interesting you mentioned that. It seems odd to me that we're so frightened about how adults may or may not smoke pot and then drive, yet every bar I drive by has a parking lot. They basically are assuming someone's going to drive there for the purposes of drinking alcohol, and, well, we're going to give them at least a little bit of leeway in determining their own responsibility to get behind the wheel. Just seems like a strange double standard, isn't it?
Maybe we could extend the same courtesy to cannabis. I like that idea.
That'd be very nice. All right, we have a question from John Thomas, who wants to know, I seem to find a potency variance in any given strain, from dispensary to dispensary, even from 1 month to the next. How can we get standardized effects for each strain?
Well, I do want to sort of play up the idea that, you know, we're within a certain range here, and particularly because, you know, if you're vaporizing, you can monitor your dose to some pretty precise inhalation sizes that you don't want to drive yourself too nuts. What we are seeing is folks who can grow indoors under really standardized conditions can replicate both THC and cannabidiol concentrations using the same strain in the same medium with almost identical lighting. But again, don't make too much of this. I feel like one vaporizer hit versus one and a half is not something that you should spend too much time driving yourself crazy about.
Well, what I was going to say also was that he was saying dispensary to dispensary. A lot of times, even the same strain grown from the same seed or even off the same mother plant can have different concentrations based on the chemical contents that they use for their nutrients solutions, and also what kind of growing medium that they have. Also, the lights make a big difference, you know, whether it's indoor or outdoor makes a difference. You know, these are all factors. So if you want to get a consistent, you know, effect, I would just say try and get as large of a quantity as you can from a specific grow spot, you know, from one specific source.
Yeah. And you know, that also brings up the point that there are a lot of development of cannabinoid pharmaceuticals going on. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I think in some circumstances it will be nice to know that one spray of Sativex or one capsule of this is going to be exactly a certain CBD-THC ratio, a certain potency, and so forth. We just shouldn't sacrifice our access to the whole plant in the meantime.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Want to remind everyone also, if you don't have time to get your question in here for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, you can always send it by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And as we wind things up, Dr. Mitch, I'm just wondering here, now that you're on the normal board, if you have any you know, insight for us on the latest projects or what's happening with Normal.
Well, so we're looking into some novel ways to try to raise some cash. That's always, of course, a big standard. And then we definitely want to make sure we're in touch with the research literature. So some of my colleagues and I are preparing a paper for Albany Law Review. And then the Mid-Atlantic Regional Conference is coming up in Philadelphia on March 16th. I regret I won't be there, but I'll be at my daughter's bat mitzvah. Ah. And then if folks have wild ideas that they would love to see Normal do, by all means, don't hesitate to email me. I've seen some crazy ones, and I'd love to see some crazier ones.
All right. Well, that sounds promising. Very, very nice. Well, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us and sticking with the show as long as you have, and we'll continue to talk to you on our Wednesday shows. But next week, we got the day off because I'll be flying to Atlanta.
You enjoy it, and you guys have a great night.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Mitch.
Bye now.
When we come back, we honor the legacy of Steve Vetteran here from 420radio.org's Cancer Forum. Be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana Nation.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, today's rant is entitled, Fuck Cancer. It can kill my body, but not my spirit. And of course, today's show is dedicated to the memory of Steve Vetteran, who, of course, his real name, Stephen Lewis Miller, an American veteran who passed away last night with his family by his side, succumbing to cancer. And personally, Steve Vetteran taught me a very, very important lesson yesterday. I had begun my day in a very petty and angry, childish mood. And by the end of the day, I had a little perspective smacked back into my reality. So I want to thank everybody who listens to this show, and for people like Steve Vetteran who are out there, who it meant so much to him as he was listening throughout the last couple of months of his life. And I know there's so many more of you out there like that, that this show means a lot to, and I will always take it that seriously. But I just wanted to read from Steve's words, because when he joined us the beginning of the year. The first post I have from him is January 7th, 2013. 6:48 p.m. when he writes, "Hi all, my name is Steve Miller. You may recognize me as Steve Vetteran on Ustream. I was diagnosed with large B-cell lymphoma cancer in April of 2012. I underwent chemotherapy and radiation treatment for cancer. I have peripheral neuropathy as a side effect from the chemo and am essentially a cripple. I was taking numerous pills for the pain, nausea, vomiting, etc. This included two different forms of morphine, oxycodone, gabapentin, and various other pills. Additionally, I was taking Ambien for sleep and lithium for my bipolar disorder. I have replaced all of these medications with medical marijuana. Well, I'm only 5 days off the Ambien, and I will get rid of the lithium. So medical marijuana is replacing over five other medications I used to take. If you're a veteran and you live in California, contact calvetmeds.com. They can help you get free medical marijuana. Well, they accept donations, but it's never required. So I go to the VA hospital a lot for my treatment. When I do, I introduce myself to other vets in the waiting area and talk about how medical marijuana has helped me get off all those pills and how I am using it to augment the care I receive from the VA. If they're interested, I get them in touch with CalVet Meds. They said I appear to be cancer-free a couple days ago, but I found a lump in my groin and my primary care doc wants to see me tomorrow. I'll let you know how I'm doing. January 8th. A little bit of an update. You may not know, but I'm a cancer patient, a U.S. veteran. I thought I'd kicked cancer, so my oncologist had told me. Yet that same night, I felt a lump in my groin. Well, my primary care doc wanted to see me and would fit me in. She examined the lumps and was concerned that it was cancer. I was diagnosed in April of 2012. I just thought I was developing arthritis. My doc wanted to get an x-ray, and the results came back the next day that I most likely had cancer. They did a biopsy and confirmed that I have large B-cell lymphoma. I went through nearly 6 months of chemotherapy. I visited the infusion clinic every 3 weeks. I'd be infused with R-CHOP chemo for 6 hours on my appointment days. I lost 50 pounds during this time. Mind you, I was not smoking pot at this time. I had quit. I'd quit that when I joined the U.S. Navy in 1982. Navy didn't take kindly to pot smokers, you see. My first real job was working in the urinalysis department. I had to watch people piss in a cup so it could be tested for drugs. But my attitude toward pot never changed. I knew my wife would severely protest, so I endured the nausea and vomiting and loss of appetite. Well, I continued with the chemotherapy over the next several months. I was severely ill at the end of the 6 months from the chemo, not the cancer. The chemo failed to do anything to the cancer. In fact, it had gotten worse.
They wanted to do radiation therapy, which I reluctantly agreed to it. But I was so sick from the chemo that I had stopped eating and stopped drinking. I'd done this for 14 days. I knew I was dying. January 9th. I couldn't eat because I was still so sick from the chemo. This is the second time chemo had almost killed me. My wife had gone shopping and my son Alex asked if I wanted to smoke some marijuana to help my appetite. Remember, I'd not smoked any marijuana since 1982. I said yes and had a great time. My wife came home about that time and I told her I'd smoked marijuana and I asked her to fix me a can of soup. I told her the marijuana had given me the munchies. I ate that whole can of soup and have been getting stronger since then. Marijuana literally saved my life. It was around this time that I rapidly developed severe peripheral neuropathy as a side effect from the chemo. I'm essentially a cripple and have to use a wheelchair to get around. The VA is getting me a power wheelchair, and it should be coming anytime soon. If you have people you love who develop cancer, advise them to really think whether they want to get chemotherapy or not. So I went and got my medical marijuana card for me and for my son for his migraines. I started buying marijuana from a local dispensary. Top shelf bud, but it's so expensive. I was browsing the internet when I happened to find calvetmeds.com. They provide free medical marijuana to vets. I am now one of their clients, and now whenever I go to the VA hospital, I will talk with vets about medical marijuana and how it has helped me get off all those pain pills. If they're interested, I give them the contact info for CalVet Meds. So I had some x-rays done 2 days ago and was told I was cancer-free. My doctor called about an hour ago and gave me the bad news. The cancer had returned. He asked if I was in pain, and I told him, no, I just smoked some marijuana. I've replaced all my pain pills with marijuana. I have another appointment to see him this coming Monday. You know what pisses me right off? I'm disabled, so I have to rely on delivery services to get my medical marijuana, before I knew about CalVet Meds. San Diego's notorious for busting dispensaries. For the life of me, I can't find one that has hemp oil, cannabis tinctures, salves, etc. They all have bud, edibles, and hash, but none seem to carry concentrated medicines. And this is what prohibition does. I'm a cancer patient and can't even get the medicine for my cancer. Here's what pisses me off. I should be able to walk into any pharmacy and buy cannabis medication, but no, they would rather let cancer patients die than let them get their medicine. I want to tell you a little bit about my life and involvement with marijuana. I started smoking marijuana back in 1970 as a recreational user. I was a senior in high school and the Vietnam War was still happening. I was strongly opposed to the war, as were most of my friends. Marijuana opened my eyes to the civil rights movement happening concurrently with the anti-war movement. We were all tired of the lies the government was feeding us, including their war on marijuana. We knew they were lying to us about the dangers of marijuana because we were smoking it and experiencing no ill effects whatsoever. I attended many rallies and sit-ins and so forth. I was never a major player and was content to merely be a small player in the movement. I helped spread the word about marijuana and turned many friends onto it. But the thing is, I never thought about the possible medical uses of marijuana. No one was talking about medical marijuana back then. It was all about recreational, especially if we got a hold of some Acapulco gold. Yum! So we started the movement to legalize marijuana back then, and although I'm a medical marijuana patient, I'm completely in favor of recreational use and legalization. I kept using marijuana recreationally until I joined the Navy in 1982. The Navy frowns on the use of marijuana, so I quit using it that time. I am so happy that all our efforts back then are starting to bear fruit. There are numerous states that allow medical marijuana, and Colorado and Washington are legal for recreational use. And I got to see this before I die. Yay! So now I'm using marijuana for my cancer and the associated pain and my peripheral neuropathy. Further, I am still telling people about marijuana, but not as a recreational product, but as a medication for many ills. I plan on telling vets about calvetmeds.com so they can get free medical marijuana. I plan on doing this until the day I die. This forum will be my legacy when I pass away. Hopefully it can help other people as well. January 12th. I've told you about calvetmeds.com several times, a great organization here in California helping vets get free medical marijuana for their disabilities. But so many of our vets come back from the war and experience severe post-traumatic stress from the things they saw or had to do. The war is evil. But what about the rest of the country?
What about vets in the other 49 states? Well, I'm happy to tell you that there are organizations that may be able to help you. The first one is Veterans for Medical Marijuana Access, and their website is veteransformedicalmarijuana.org. Another organization is Veterans for Weed United at theveteransforweed.com. Another organization is the Kentucky Veterans for Medical Marijuana. You can find their Facebook page. Now, some vets may be afraid of losing medical care at VA hospitals if their doctor knows they use medical marijuana. This indeed used to be the case, but the VA has come out with a directive that allows vets to use medical marijuana for their disabilities without fear of reprisal, at least for the states that allow medical marijuana. Here's a link to the VA memo. January 13th, chemo sucks. Hi, everyone. I hope you're having a tokingly fine day. So, you know, I found some pharmaceutical-grade CBD oil at tetralabs.com. They cover all of California and Washington. Quite expensive, so I can't really get much, and I have to wait till payday to get some. So tomorrow I see my oncologist and get the final results of the PET scan and MRI. I'm not sure what treatment options he'll offer for me, but I know he will not offer chemo. He knows how I feel about chemo. Read my other messages here in the Cancer Forum to find out why chemo sucks. Well, I've been feeling ill and weird. Not sure how to explain it. I'm definitely getting weaker and my appetite is poor. I no longer get the munchies when I smoke marijuana. I'm still not in any real pain, thanks to marijuana. I'm still not taking any pain meds other than pot, though I realize I will probably need to start taking morphine again toward the end. But until then, I'm only going to use marijuana. January 14th. Hi, everyone. Keep toking. I just got back from my physical therapy and to see my oncologist. So he showed me the PET scan results, and there are 7 lymph nodes infected with lymphoma in my right groin and going down my inner thigh. Dr. Yan asked me if I wanted to try chemo again, and I said, you know by now what I said, chemo sucks. He laughed and said he wanted to talk to the head oncologist, Dr. Peel. She said radiation may be beneficial, and I agreed to that. I then informed her that I was using medical marijuana for my cancer, and Dr. Yan told me I was able to replace all my pain meds with medical marijuana. She was very happy to hear this and told me if it was helping, keep using it. I then told them the story of how marijuana saved my life, and they both laughed, saying, yes, there's one thing we're certain about marijuana. It helps the appetite. I then told them I was going to educate them a little and told them about cannabidiol, CBD, and that it appears to strangle the blood supply to cancerous tumors and causes cancer cells to commit suicide. I told them that more research needed to be done in this area. Now remember, these are 2 VA doctors who have specialized in cancer treatment, yet they knew nothing whatsoever about CBD. Newsflash, January 14th. I forgot to mention that while I was at physical therapy, Rick told me my power wheelchair had just arrived and they were unpacking it. Nice! Further, the wheelchair ramp is being installed this Thursday. Whoop, whoop. When the weather's nice, I can go out. VA's fitting the whole bill. So, January 15th. So what is the speed limit for a power wheelchair? Should I token drive? Will I get pulled over by the police if I do so? Laugh out loud. But seriously, remember people, don't token drive. Be smart and stay safe. So my nurse from Vitas Hospice comes over and I let her know the results of my PET scan and that I had talked with my oncologist yesterday and told them about cannabidiol, CBD, the component of marijuana. She didn't know anything about it, but again, was extremely interested. So I gave her the link to Project CBD. Thanks, Russ, for telling me about this site, projectcbd.com. I also mailed that link to my oncologist since he had expressed an interest in CBD. I let her know that I was not eating well again and that I now weighed only 185 pounds. I was 245 this past April when I was diagnosed with cancer. Kind of overweight for 5'10". Unfortunately, the CBD from Tetra Labs is so expensive. $40 for only 5 capsules, a 5-day supply. I would need much more than that, and unfortunately, I can't afford it. January 16th, CalVet Meds rocks! Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing fine. I had a great day today as I went to visit my friend from calvetmeds.com. His name's Doc. He gave me some fine weed. We talked for a bit about his school and my cancer. We smoked a few bowls of the medical marijuana he had, and we had a great time. I told Doc I had educated my oncologist about CBD. I then asked Doc if he had a way of getting some high-content CBD oil concentrate for me. He said CalVet Meds was already working on that.
When we got home, I took my power wheelchair for a spin to the bus stop to see how long it takes. The answer is 30 minutes. So now that I'm mobile, I can go to some of my appointments using public transit by myself. Nice. January 18th. I'm going to become a Rastafarian. Seriously, I'm researching Rastafarianism. Seems like a nice spiritual belief system. Peace, love, compassion. I like that. Further, they understand that marijuana is a spiritual and sacramental herb. I don't know much about their prophets, but I'm slowly learning. I need to find a Rasta church in San Diego. So I maintain that even recreational use of cannabis is medicine. Hear me out. They say laughter is the best medicine, and marijuana makes me feel happy. Thus, recreational use is medicine. So I went to Balboa Naval Hospital today to get the radiation scheduled, and while I was there, I talked with my oncologist about CBD. If you don't know about CBD, you need to go to projectcbd.com. And, of course, he had never heard about CBD, so I educated him about it. He said his only problem with marijuana is it currently lacks quality control, consistent dosage, proper titration. I told him to just go to Project CBD and check it out. He said he's going to a conference next week, and he'll try to see if anyone else is working on CBD projects. January 19th. Eek! Not morphine! To be clear, I'm not opposed to using pharmaceutical medications. I just prefer to use cannabis to treat my symptoms, as long as I can. The pain in my leg has been severe for the past couple of days, so I admit I've taken morphine a couple times in the past couple of days. Now, y'all know that cannabis is an herb given to us by Jah for our well-being. So, opium poppy is also a sacred herb given to us for our well-being. I'm not sure if this is a Rasta belief or not, but I suspect they would not be opposed to the use of opium for the treatment of pain associated with several diseases, including cancer. Of course, I am still using cannabis for its cancer-healing properties, sleep aid, to treat my depression, etc. And again, I use cannabis to help me meditate and use imagery to fight off my cancer, just like any good Rasta man does, laugh out loud. I'm not a Rastafarian yet, but I'm learning. It's a beautiful spiritual belief system whose members believe cannabis is a sacred plant useful for our many ills. January 20th, acid rock. Hey, everyone, I hope you're having a tokenly fine day today. So I was just interviewed on the Lively Libra show, and it was a blast. Thanks, Libra, for the opportunity to tell my story. But one thing we missed was, what's your favorite genre of music? The answer is acid rock of the 60s and 70s. Well, I grew up at that time. Timothy Leary was our priest and prophet. I know Herb considers Deep Purple's Child in Time as metal, and I can't disagree with him, but it's also acid rock. Then there's Jefferson Airplane with Volunteers and Go Ask Alice. And of course, the greatest acid rock theme album of all times was Jefferson Starship's Blows Against the Empire. Can't forget Jimi Hendrix or Frank Zappa with his album 200 Motels. So much great acid rock, but it seems to be a forgotten genre. Well, enough for now. Stay high. January 21st, contest announcement. Hi, everyone. That's right. I'm announcing a contest. The prize will be spectacular. You will have helped out mankind free himself from cancer. As you know, I talk about CBD all the time. If not, feel free to read my past posts to educate yourself about CBD. So here's the contest. Go to projectcbd.com website and read about CBD as little or as much as you'd like. They have a list of strains high in CBD. But they need people to keep developing high CBD cannabis. Y'all know and like me, so have them name a new CBD strain after me. That's the whole contest. And then people would know that to treat cancer, they would know to use the Steve Veteran strain to treat cancer. It'd be the strain everyone would know is associated with cancer. I'm sure I'm being somewhat egotistical, but I so much want to spread the word of CBD cannabis. People would say, yeah, that Steve Veteran variety don't get you very high, but it sure kicks cancer's butt. January 25th, Cancer Meditations. Hello, everyone. Hope you're all having an awesome day. So besides using cannabis to help heal my cancer, I also use meditation and imagery. Before I go to sleep, I'll smoke a bowl of nice indica. I put on some meditative music or reggae, lay down, and put myself into a trance. I will then do one of several exercises. The marijuana helps me get into the trance state, relax, and do the imagery. Here's one such imagery I use. There's a commercial for a flea and tick medications for dogs, and we see it all the time. In the commercial, the flea looks like a monster,
Then the medication's applied, and it appears as several ninja warriors armed with bow staffs, and they proceed to wipe out the fleas and all the eggs. So I imagine my cancer is the fleas, and marijuana and my immune system are the ninja warriors wiping out the cancer. You may laugh at this. It is pretty funny. But studies seem to show that imagery can indeed activate our immune systems to fight off diseases, and it is quite relaxing. I meditate with reggae music a lot. I really have always loved Bob Marley. Three Little Birds seems to be especially relevant to me. Don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna be all right. So I know I don't have to worry about my cancer. It'll be all right. Very significant to me. Helps relieve the stress and depression I use. I use lots of other meditative centering techniques, always integrated with the use of marijuana. So yesterday I got fitted for a mold for my upcoming radiation therapy. I had worn my Monty Python Holy Grail t-shirt, and one of the techs noticed it and commented on it. Soon all four of us were quoting from the movie. Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! I'm not dead yet. I'm getting better. What's your favorite color? Blue. No, green. Ah! What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? Laugh out loud, hilarious stuff. We went on like this for a good 5 minutes or so. January 29th, a new convert. Greetings, everyone. I hope you're having a great day. So the other day, I was watching the show here at 420radio.org, and there was a video playing about Sativex. I'd never heard about Sativex before watching this video. If you haven't heard about it, I'm not surprised. It's a medication put out by a company in the United Kingdom called GW Pharmaceuticals, and it's now in phase 3 clinical trials here in the USA. It is composed of two cannabinoids, specifically THC and CBD. So you know me. I printed some info out from their website and got it to my two oncologist secretaries a few days ago. I saw my primary oncologist yesterday, and he apologized that he was not able to read my info completely, but was able to glance at it. He then said something that shocked and delighted me. He said, Steve, this stuff is real. I know some people doing clinical trials, and no promise, but I'm going to see if I can get you into the Sativex trials. So cool. We have a convert who now understands that cannabis is real medicine, and he will most certainly talk with his fellow oncologists about it. On a totally different subject, we had some very old and dear friends visit the other day. The woman asked me how I was feeling. I told them I was okay and that medical marijuana helps a lot with the pain. These friends did not know I was using cannabis until that moment. I explained how cannabis appears to kill cancer. They were extremely supportive and were happy I was actively participating in my healthcare. I am happy to do my little part in the movement. All the folks here at 420 Radio are doing the big work. Without 420 Radio, we would have never found out about Sativex. So thanks to all of you for what you do. Big Pharma saved my life, February 4th. Hello, everyone. Hope you're having an awesome day. So I already told you that marijuana saved my life, so I figured it was only fair to inform you that Big Pharma also saved my life when I was undergoing chemo. I was immune compromised and developed a temperature. I was hospitalized for a few days and pumped full of antibiotics. I would have died otherwise. So no, I am not entirely opposed to Big Pharma. I was again thankful for Big Pharma when my cancer was giving me severe pain last night and I couldn't sleep. I took some morphine and I was able to sleep. Some people tell me I should be using whole cannabis, juicing it and making my own oil. I agree, this is a good option for many people, just not me. Just trust me, growing and making my own oil is impossible for me. My son says he wants to grow it for me, and I might try to find some cannatonic seeds that have the ideal ratio of 1-to-1 THC to CBD. So, say I am ever given the opportunity to use Sativex, I would jump at the chance. Concentrated THC-CBD at the ideal 1-to-1 ratio? True, it isn't the whole plant. I would still smoke and vape to take care of that. We're all in this together, folks. Don't be critical of one person's decision to use Big Pharma for certain conditions. Not only that, but every tiny step we make toward legalization is welcome. If Big Pharma feels they need to isolate molecules of cannabis so doctors know how to properly titrate it, proper dosage, medication contraindications, etc., these are the type of things most doctors feel they need to know before they can prescribe any medication. This won't change anytime soon. I do also agree that Big Pharma are bastards out to rip us all off of the little money we have. Further, many of the drugs they put out are pure poison. A Nirvana event, February 6th, 8:15 a.m.
Hi, everyone. Hope you're having a great life. No, my cancer is not cured. That's not the marvelous event I am talking about. You may not know, but I am terminal with 6 months or so to live. Fact is, I could die any day. I'm on hospice care, and I have a nurse, social worker, chaplain, and home health aide visit me several times a week. So what is this marvelous event I'm talking about? Well, the fact that I woke up alive today. Celebrate life. Life is too short to do otherwise. Cancer or other terminal disease makes you very aware of this. So how do I celebrate life? Well, I talk with everyone I meet about using cannabis to treat my cancer. I meditate, and I take silly photos of snail trails and manhole covers. Bad news, February 12th. Hello, everyone. Hope you're having a marvelous day. Me? Not so good. I saw two of my oncologists today. Saw my primary oncologist first. He told me my recent tests show that my cancer is much more aggressive than they originally thought. He said I might not have much longer to live. He didn't say if that meant a day, a week, a month, or whatever, but I got the distinct impression it was not very long. Fuck cancer. It may be able to kill my body, but it will never kill my spirit. My therapist said I'm getting noticeably stronger, so I have a new goal in life. I plan to exercise my ass off so that hopefully I will be able to walk again before I die. Screw you, cancer. You can't kill my spirit. He asked if I was experiencing any pain, and I again pointed out to him that cannabis was doing its job to kill the pain. You can shove it up your ass, cancer. I have cannabis on my side, and it hates you just as much as I do. So fuck off and die, cancer. So my docs still want to do chemo after radiation to try to prevent further metastasizing. To which I always respond, chemo sucks. But my primary explained that they would not use R-CHOP this time, but only use Rituxan and one other med, forgot the name, so it'd be much milder. I tentatively and reluctantly agreed to this. He said they would stop it immediately if I started exhibiting any bad symptoms. They always ask me how I'm feeling, and I explained that cannabis helps me feel fine, pain-free, and happy. Well, enough for now. It's 3:30 in the morning, and I haven't slept at all after all this long and exhausting day. I'm exhausted, but can't seem to be able to get to sleep. Going to try to lay my power chair way back and get some sleep. Peace. And then that was our last post that we got from Steve Veteran on February 12th. We then got posts from his son, Alex, who on February 25th said, "Hello and good afternoon, everyone. For those who don't know me, most probably don't, I'm Steve Veteran's son. Since last Friday morning, my father has had really bad hiccups. He has been at the La Jolla VA Medical Center since Friday and is in critical condition. His cancer is spreading, and if I'm not mistaken, I was told it spread to his liver. The most recent update I've heard was that he has moved to palliative care and will remain there for a set amount of time. My father asked me a few months ago if I would post on here and let the community know he has passed. He has not left us yet, and I pray for a miracle that he doesn't for a long time. But however the outcome, I will keep the promise I made to my father by keeping 420radio.org updated on his current condition." March 2. "Good morning, everyone. I'm back again to give you all an update on how my father is doing. Since I posted last time, my father has had a huge improvement. Although his condition may still be terminal, he is still in the most joyful mood ever. He has accepted that he will die from cancer, and our whole family understands that too. My dad asked that when he passed, we wouldn't be crying in sadness, but rather that we threw a party of joy in the passing of my father into a new life. I will do just that, regardless of tears on that day. They will be tears of joy and happiness. Doctors have still said at any moment my father's life could end. I still have hopes of my father coming home one last time for a great big sesh. I pray every day that I will get that chance again, and I hope I do so." March 4th. "Good morning, everyone. I hope you had a great weekend. I'm back again to give you another update on how my dad is doing. On Sunday morning, the doctors came and increased his morphine medication to 1.4 milligrams. He used to be at 0.6 milligrams. His pain has gotten worse, but that's okay because of the increase in pain meds they've given him. He actually feels less pain, and I thank them for that. Unfortunately, on Saturday night, when I stayed the night with him, he chose to have a purple wristband placed around his wrist. On the wristband are the letters DNR, which stands for Do Not Resuscitate. In any case of my father flatlining, the doctors will not try to revive him. It is a choice that my father has made, and I fully support him of it and will always be there for him.
Also, because of the high dosage of morphine, he is getting somewhat unable to have full conversations and finish sentences, which is, again, okay because of the morphine. Other than that, he's doing pretty well and still fighting. In my father's words, fuck cancer. It can kill his body, but not his spirit. March 5th, final update on Dad, but not my last post. Good evening, everyone. Last night, Monday, March 4th, 2013, at around 9:30 p.m., my father, Stephen Lewis Miller, took his final breaths at the VA center in La Jolla. I really don't know what else there is to say here, although I'm glad my father can rest in peace without any pain. I love him so much, and I bet he's already smoking stacks up there right now. Anyways, everyone, thank you for all the support. Really appreciate it. My dad loved you all, and you are all great, friendly people. This won't be my last post, and it won't be the last time you see me here, but now I'll end with this. A God bless you, and in my father's words, cancer can kill my body, but not my spirit. Rest in peace, Father Stephen Lewis Miller, 1952 to 2013.